a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Leading us in prayer today will be Father Mike Griffin from the Pier 4 Pier Ministerial Association. Leading our pledge today will be Pages Lexi Jones from Huron and Kyle Anderson from Pier.
Let us pray. Lord our God, as we gather in your name and in your holy presence this day, we are reminded of the words given us in Psalm 95. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We ask today for the gift of a listening heart, a heart which hears your voice and responds to your spirit, a heart which listens, for this is the source of our unity and strength. In a time of division and discord, our ability to hear human voices brings us peace. For a listening heart is supple, it is clever, it is gentle, it is wise. Lord, we are always tempted to harden our hearts, to refuse to hear and listen, but your spirit in your presence will and does renew us, and these gifts are with us now. Bless these women and men, our elected representatives who stand before you. May you bless them and bless their voices and their words, their hearing and their listening. Bless them, bless the state they serve and which we all love, and may you preserve our union. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Clerk, will please call the roll.
Abdallah Blake, Boland, Boomgarden, Bruner, Carson, Consent, Cronin, Dielstra, Dennard, Dryden, Elliott, Fargen, Feikert, Feinstein, Gibson, Gosh, Greenfield, Hager, Hanson, Hawley, Hickey, Hoffman, Hubble, Hunhoff, Hunt, Ironclaw, Jensen, Jones, Killer, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Kochek, Kopp, List, Lucas, Lust, Magstead, Miller, Mosier, Munsterman, Nelson, Nordstrup, Olson, Perry, Romkema, Rosem, Russell, Schaefer, Schremp, Scott, Sigdestad, Sly, Solem, Steele, Street, Strickers, Torno, Tulson, Turbeville, Van Gerpen, Vanneman, Venner, Vershio, White, Wick, Wilson, Wick, Wismer, Speaker Roush.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the 11th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Val Roush, Chair.
All those in favor of approval of the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Journal is approved. Representative Hager.
Personal privilege, please.
Please, ma'am.
This is actually my first personal privilege for my family members, but it all starts with a story. Some 30, 35 years ago, my father was an intern in this Capitol. Around that time, my mother met my dad at TAR camp. They got married. My parents have never allowed me to go to TAR camp. That's why I'm still single. It would also be remiss of me, since we have all these beauty queens visiting our capital, to not mention a little princess. My little sister's name is Emma Hager, and my parents are Don and Michelle Hager.
Welcome. Well done, Representative. Representative Dielstra.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege?
Granted, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Speaker and honorable members of the body. Well, today my mom is watching us at home on PBS while she's celebrating her birthday today. So I'd like to take this opportunity to wish my mom a very happy birthday and many, many more. I love you. Happy birthday, Mom.
I have a note here on behalf of Representative Cronin and Hoffman. I believe the Ipswich government class is here. They're here. Would they please stand? Any other guests today? Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committees have been busy. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bill 1038 do pass. House Bill 1070 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. House Bill 1091 do pass as amended. House Bill 1090 was tabled and House Bill 1102 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Kim Bannerman, Chair. The Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that House Bill 1202 and Senate Bills 3 and 55 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1236 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Mike Fercio, Chair. The Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports that Senate Bills 2, 6, 21, and 24 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bills 1183 and 1190 do pass as amended. Jamie Boomgarden, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that House Bill 1197 do pass. House Bills 1029 and 1116 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1105 was deferred to the 41st legislative day. Mark K. Willitson, Chair. And the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports that House Bills 1115 and 1203 do pass, and House Bill 1173 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Mark Kirkaby, Chair.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Concurrent Resolution 1004, in which the Senate has concurred. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has failed to concur in House Concurrent Resolution 1002. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to return here with House Bills 1022, 1023, and 1025, which have passed the Senate without change. And, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to transmit here with Senate Bills 4, 9, 23, 36, and 47, which have passed the Senate, and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. B. Jacobson, Secretary.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Lust moves that the reports of the Standing Committees on Commerce and Energy on House Bills 1059 and 1035, Education on House Bill 1195, and Judiciary on House Bill 1132 be adopted.
All those in favor of the Lust motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience and those listening at home, we're now going to have first reading of Senate bills. By our Constitution, we have to read the titles in open forum. The staff up here will be reading the titles over the top of one another, so it'll be very hard to understand. But you, however, can go online at your leisure and look at these bills in their entirety. First reading, Senate bills.
Senate Bill 4, an act to make an appropriation to continue the Veterans Bonus Program and to declare an emergency. Senate Bill 9, an act to make an appropriation to reimburse certain family physicians and dentists who have complied with the requirements of the Physician Tuition Reimbursement Program and Dental Tuition Reimbursement Program and to declare an emergency.
Speaker refers Senate Bill 4 and 9 to appropriations, Senate Bill 23 to health. Senate Bills 36 and 47 to appropriations. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now go to what we call our consent calendar. These are bills that have gone through the committee process and have had no opposition. The committee thought as an efficiency measure they would just recommend that we pass them out of this house and send them over to the Senate. So at this time we'll have the second reading of the consent calendar.
House Bill 1177, an act to establish provisions to exempt breastfeeding mothers or new parents from jury duty. House Bill 1076, an act to retain certain members of municipal governing bodies in office following the redistricting of municipal wards. House Bill 1088, an act to revise certain requirements for charging and collecting certain fees for confining certain people in the county jail. And House Bill 1196, an act to revise certain provisions concerning lobbyists.
Consent calendar items having had their second reading are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Representative Tornow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question for the sponsor of 1196.
Please state your question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, I'm wondering why in Section 2 of 1196 why are we doing away with requiring those statements to be notarized?
Representative Rosem, I believe you're the author of this bill. Would you like to answer that question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Currently, as those of us in the legislature submit our expenses and we don't have to have anything notarized, actually what this is doing is just streamlining it, saving money and modernizing the current process. If you think about that, if you take a bill in, or if you take your expenses to somebody and have them notarize it, they're basically notarizing your signature. They're not notarizing what those expenses are. The whole goal here is to be able for the lobbyists to be able to submit their expenses via online and not have to send the paperwork, which of course saves money on the other end too, because then they can submit it online now, but then they have to follow up with the paperwork and the notarized expenses.
Thank you, Representative. Further questions?
Just one follow-up question. You don't believe that they could have it notarized and still scan that in and submit it electronically?
Representative Rosen, would you like to answer that question?
Yes. I don't know. So online, you could still probably scan it. But the point is, we don't do it for the legislators. We don't do it, really. Why do we do it for them? Again, the notarization is simply you signed the paper in front of me, not what the expenses are.
Thank you. Further questions? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of consent calendar items. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 68, nays 1.
Consent calendar items having received majority vote of the member-elect are hereby declared passed. Any questions on the titles? Hearing none, titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House bills.
Representative Olson moves that House Bill 1036 be placed to follow House Bill 1147 on today's calendar.
Second.
All those in favor of the Olson motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion carries.
House Bill 1037 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1037, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hoffman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. The Agriculture Mediation Program, House Bill 1037, comes to us from the Department of Agriculture. Section 282 of the 1994 Reorganization Act expanded the USDA Ag Mediation Program administered by the states to include wetland determinations, conservation compliance, agricultural credit, rural water loan programs, grazing on national forest system lands, pesticides, and other issues the Secretary deems appropriate. Section 275 of the Act requires that if a USDA-certified state mediation program is available as part of the informal hearing process, the appeal participant will be offered mediation. As it stands today, the only reason that SDDA is not administering the mediation program to assist with federal lands issues is because state statute only allows for mediation of creditor-debtor disputes. This is a great tool to help our producers resolve disputes concerning their grazing permit short of going to court. Currently, producers are traveling to Nebraska or North Dakota to utilize the USDA programs administered by those states. This bill came out of committee unopposed. For some unknown reason, was asked to be taken off the consent calendar, and I urge everyone in here, for all the right reasons, please go green on this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House is final consideration of House Bill 1037. All those in favor vote yea. Those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 69.
House Bill 1037, having received majority vote of the members elects, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1026 has had its second reading.
House Bill 1026, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Boomgarden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 1026 is part of the Governor's Red Tape Review Committee. I think there was 24 passages or sections that were repealed, and I think it was mostly more of a cleanup to make it easier to use for everybody. Most all of the sections that were repealed are already being performed under other sections and are no longer needed. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of House Bill 1026. All those in favor vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. On behalf of Representative Street and myself, we'd like to welcome the doctor of the day. Dr. Kevin Beardall is here from Milbank. Thank you, doctor. Good to see you.
Representatives Dennert, Kochak, Strickers, and Wismer. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 68, nays 1.
House Bill 1026, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1041, an act to authorize a carryover of the fiscal year 2012 state aid to special education appropriation to fiscal year 2013 for the purpose of maintaining federal maintenance of effort levels.
House Bill 1041, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you House Bill 1041. This is a basic bill. We voted on a very similar proposal the last couple of years. This is the bill that is necessary for special education funding when we carry over funds from the current fiscal year to fiscal year 2013. It's just a very basic procedure, helps us maintain our federal maintenance of effort levels so that we can receive our full funding for special education for the school children of South Dakota. Passed out of committee 8-0 with one person absent. Again, it's a bill we take up pretty much every year, so I would encourage you to vote green on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, this will be a two-thirds vote because of the appropriations. Question before the House, final consideration of House Bill 1041. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 69.
House Bill 1041, having received two-thirds majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1171, an act to establish a board to regulate certain emerging complementary health professionals with no current state regulatory board. And Representative Lust moves that House Bill 1171 be deferred to Thursday, February 2nd, the 14th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Lust motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
House Bill 1154, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the construction of roads outside the road district.
House Bill 1154, having had its second readings up for consideration and final passage, are there any remarks? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 1154 is a really very simple bill. It should have come out of committee on consent, but it was not understood that we could send them out to the consent calendar if there was an amendment. There was one word deleted from it, and it was unfortunate we didn't catch it ahead of time. But the basically, this gives landowners more rights, their own rights, to make sure they can protect their land, because a road district could come through their land and change that road if they weren't even in the district, if the county commission approved it. This would make sure that they'd have to get approval from the landowner in writing before they'd move trees or change the road or anything else in the process. I appreciate your green vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the body. As a landowner in the Black Hills, myself, I urge support on this bill because it will protect landowner rights in the Black Hills and all other parts of the state. So urge support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of House Bill 1154. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. Clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representatives Scott and Steele. Representative Scott. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 68, nays 1.
House Bill 1154, having received majority vote of the members-elects, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1182, an act to revise the filing deadlines for the nomination of certain independent candidates.
House Bill 1182, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Kirkaby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the body. Honorably bringing for your consideration House Bill 1182. What I'm trying to do, and it's specifically laid out, is to reduce the filing deadline for independent candidates by 5 weeks. Currently, they have, in the great state of South Dakota, they, meaning independent candidates, have up until 5 p.m. on primary election day for the traditional candidates, those recognized candidates, on the party platform of both the Democratic and the Republican Party. I'm seeking your consideration to shorten that by that five-week time period. It still allows, if you want to say, that extra grace period by a full 30 days, and it certainly allows with that window of opportunity, if a Democratic candidate or a Republican candidate wishes to run as an independent themselves, if they do have a mistake on their original petitions. Currently in South Dakota, we have a little over 500,000 active registered voters, of which almost 17% are registered independent, a total of 86,109. I believe that this bill takes that progressive step to someday allowing the independent party to actually be a recognized party within the great state of South Dakota. And with that, Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I'd appreciate your consideration on House Bill 1182 and will honorably stand by for any questions that may come. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Lucas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I would respectfully ask you to vote no on allowing this proposal to move forth earlier as far as independent voters being able to get in their petition to run for office. The representative from Rapid City has brought forth a good issue. He's brought forth this before. At one time, independents had until August to get their nomination in, and now we've moved that up to basically primary election day. Now, one of the comments that was made is that independents could become a party and be organized. Well, that's not why they're independents. They're independent because they don't want to be in a political party. And by leaving it at the primary day, that allows them to see who the primary candidates are. And maybe if they're not agreeing with who those candidates are, they could choose to run as an independent. Thank you.
Further remarks? Representative Liss.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Independents are able to get signatures from independents, from Democrats, from Republicans. And as one of a few people in this body who has run as an independent in the past, I'd like to emphasize that I think that this is no additional burden to speak of upon an independent candidacy. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Wick.
Mr. Speaker, fellow members of the House, I'd like to emphasize the fact that they still have five more weeks than all the rest of us do to pass our petitions within either party. Not just the five more weeks to do it, but as the last representative from Sioux Falls said, they can go to anybody on either side of the aisle, include everybody in their process of looking for people to sign. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House, final consideration of House Bill 1182. All those in favor will vote yea, those opposed nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine and members shall proceed to vote. I see the unmistakable signs of the AARP. I'm glad they have come to the Capitol again this year and they have brought us a wonderful meal today. So on behalf of the House of Representatives, we'd like to welcome you to the South Dakota House Chamber. Thank you for coming.
Mr. Speaker.
Oh, Representative Elliott.
Personal privilege, please.
Granted, ma'am.
I have three people I would like to introduce, if that would be all right. Sitting in the back with the AARP people are my cousin and his wife, Herb and Judy Rechtenbaugh from Hartford, right back there. And also another very special person that I'm going to introduce, and she's sitting right up here, my mother-in-law, Isabel Jacobson. She was an index clerk back in 1957 to 59 when there were no computers. They did everything on index cards, and it was a very tough job. She also was one of three people who started the state retirement system. I would like you to honor her, please.
Welcome. Thank you.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk, will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 47, nays 22.
House Bill 1182, having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title's deemed correct.
House Joint Resolution 1004, a joint resolution to propose a constitutional amendment regarding legislative term limits.
House Joint Resolution 1004, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Representative Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members of the body, today I bring before you House Joint Resolution 1004, a proposed constitutional amendment that would revise the term limits provisions in the South Dakota Constitution. Term limits for legislators and constitutional officers were first placed in the South Dakota Constitution by the people in 1992. At that time, the decision was made to make term limits equal to 8 years. For legislators, that would be 4 2-year terms, and for constitutional officers, that would be 2 4-year terms. These limits were passed by a vote of the people by a margin of almost 2-1. 20 years ago, term limits were all the rage. They were seen as a vehicle by which long-serving members of Congress and of legislatures could be removed. Term limits were popular with the public. Many voted for them believing it would change Congress, but they have never been applied to our national legislative body. 20 years have passed. We now have a better perspective on this subject. I remain a backer of the concept of term limits. However, I have come to the conclusion that the 8-year limit is too short. It does not allow for the members of the legislature here in South Dakota to gain the depth of knowledge and the experience that is necessary for effective and positive involvement in the legislative process. I believe that we should lengthen but not eliminate term limits so that members can serve a longer but not an unlimited amount of time. In the past, the legislature has put forth measures to eliminate term limits. They have been rejected by the voters. I believe that one of the strongest arguments for this proposal is that it could potentially strengthen the legislative branch of government as it seeks to balance out the power of the executive branch and the judicial branches of government, who have many full-time employees who live and breathe the issues that we deal with during a compressed 2-month period of time. I believe this amendment to our Constitution will potentially produce better legislators, better legislation, and a better balance between our three branches of government. I know that some of you believe that term limits should be eliminated completely. I would differ with you on that issue, but please do not let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Please do not reject this proposal just because it may not be a complete repeal of the concept of term limits. In addition to this, it has been mentioned that this proposal would potentially be cluttering up the ballot. I would like you to take note of the fact that every 12 years in South Dakota, we have an extremely light number of people who are running for statewide office. That happens every 12th year, and this is the year. Every 12th year in South Dakota, we elect the president, we elect a member of Congress, and we elect a member of the Public Utilities Commission. This year, in 2012, we will be electing 2 members of the Public Utilities Commission because of resignations and the like. But every 12th year, you have an extremely light ballot for the people who are running for statewide office. It is this year. And I believe that is a very compelling reason why this measure should be put on the ballot this year. This is the year, every 12th year, when we do not have to necessarily worry about cluttering up the ballot. No race for governor, no race for U.S. senator, no race for the 5 constitutional officers, which I will not take the time to relate to you. So, this is the year. Finally, so please consider that fact. Finally, so that no one can say that I am using this measure to lengthen my potential legislative career, I hereby publicly declare on the floor of this House at this time that I, as an individual legislator, will abide by the 4-term limit. I will not use this proposal to advance any personal political career or term of service in this House. I do not want that to be an issue in this vote. I believe this is the proper adjustment for term limits. I urge you at this time advance this measure to the Senate, vote green on this constitutional amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Nelson.
Members of the body, I could not disagree more. What we do here is to measure the rights and the wrongs of the merits on the issues facing South Dakotans. The best people to decide the rights and the wrongs of the merits of the issues facing South Dakotans are citizen legislators, not legislators that stay up here 8 to 12 years, that breed relationships that are often counterproductive to the best interests of South Dakotans. If I had my druthers, I'd like to see this where the term limits were limited to 4 years. This House, this state, is best served when South Dakotans, without vested interests in complicated issues across this state, come here and judge the things solely on the merits, not on personal opinions or persons that are established with it or bodies of citizens that object or support an issue, but the merits. That is the way our government was meant to survive. If you look at our founding fathers, they signed the Declaration of Independence under the fear of death. That was their term limits, was death. What we do not need are people that sit up here for 4, 8, and 12 years and establish power that is not meant to be. The balance of power in this House, in this legislature, should be that of the people, for the people. And the best way to maintain that are keeping the seat prints on these chairs fresh with good South Dakotans with great ideas about advancing the cause of freedom, liberty, and the best interests of this state by citizen legislators. I'd ask you to object to this and vote big no. South Dakotans have made it clear about what they feel on term limits. Thank you for your patience.
Further remarks, Representative Tornow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I, too, cannot support this, although I appreciate the effort my friend from Canton has put forward in bringing this forward for discussion purposes. But I also agree that this needs to be a matter that as individual legislators, we don't look to another 2 or 4 or 8 years to serve. You know, I've gone a lot of door-to-door, as I know a lot of you folks have, in campaigning in my district in Southeast Sioux Falls. And maybe it's just me, but I've never run into anybody saying, I hope you can serve another 10 years. Those folks appreciate that you're there to try to get their vote, but understand that they get to review our work product every 2 years. And that we did put in place the 8-year limit. It is an appropriate limit, and I think we ought to abide by it. I don't know that I disagree with my friend from Canton that it has been long enough. I know there are some that argue that because peer is peer, so to speak, that the power resides here. Really, if folks come up here and are ready to learn, you can pick up the process fairly easily and go about being a legislator, voting on the merits of bills, and dealing with the issues that way. We don't need to serve, again, another 2 or 4 or 6 years. Let the voters decide that each and every time they vote, and let's keep the 8-year limit as is. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I know my good friend from Lincoln County will appreciate this. Our 13th President, Millard Fillmore, once said, "Nothing brings out the lower traits of human nature like office-seeking. Men of good character and impulses are betrayed by it into all sorts of meanness." Now, I think we've seen that this year, perhaps more than any other year. And we've seen the danger of term limits and the high turnover rates in this body, perhaps this year more than any other year. And although I don't plan on serving 12 years, I think it's a good idea to extend term limits to at least 12 years. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe, if I understand it right, when this first came about, it was aimed at just as much at our U.S. Congress as it was about our State House. It went into effect on our State House, But the federal government says, a U.S. Congress is federal, and you don't have a right to term limit them. So it stuck with us, and it didn't with the federal. My personal opinion is I would rather see a 4, 4, and a 2. If we're going to term limit, to go with a 4, 4, we have to have every 10 years because of the census. I don't know about the rest of you in here, but this is a $6,000 a year job. I have had a primary the last three times I've run. It has cost me approximately $15,000 to run. The only way most of us can is with the help of you folks up here in the gallery and those out in the hinterlands to help us run, because a lot of us can't afford that kind of money. That's why I would like to see a change to a 4, 4, and a 2, and with a term limit of 10. If my good friend from Canton would have discussed that with me, I would have been more than happy to tell him that. I hadn't heard about it until the bill was already in, and he'd have probably done it that way anyway. But I appreciate the opportunity to share that with you folks, and I am torn with this bill. I would rather see it go to a 4, 4, and 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Dennert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Kind of interesting, as this discussion is going on, in 1992, when this was on the ballot, that was the first year I ran, and I'm still here. Term limits probably haven't affected me, but chamber limits have. As we look down this road of this issue, I know for sure this has been on the ballot once before, and as the former speaker said, it was totally to get rid of term limits, and it seemed to me it was on the ballot once before that, but it seemed to me I supported kind of get rid of term limits to put it on the ballot, and I got the worst chewing out in my, one of the worst chewing outs in my life to even support that issue to put it on the ballot and let the people decide. In 1992, I'm here to tell you I voted in support of term limits. I figured 8 years would be enough for anybody, but then after I was here a while, I've had chamber limits and not term limits. I think at this time I'm going to request a no vote on this issue. I think the people have spoke at least twice and maybe three times, and I think although we hear that they would like to get rid of term limits, the people have spoke, so I'm just going to ask for a no vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Rosem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would suggest that the citizens of this state have enough intelligence to decide whom they would like to represent them. I think that we already have term limits with the voters. We lose a lot of valuable history, and in my past of serving in local government, I know that once we turn over that history, we retread water, and that costs the taxpayer money. And I'm not suggesting that many people would be here for a lengthy time, but I really do think the voters have already give us term limits. If they don't like what you do, they get rid of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks, Representative Romkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this bill. Speaking from the appropriations perspective, and perhaps in disagreement with my good friend on the left side of the aisle, frequently we in appropriations refer back to Senator Putnam and Representative Dennert for their wisdom for coming from years of serving on appropriations. I suggest to you that without those two members, appropriations wouldn't be as effective as it is today. When you have a body with a 30% turnover every 2 years, very, very difficult for continuity, and I suggest good laws as well. So I urge your support of this very important resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Representative Kopp?
Sooner or later.
I knew I'd get to you sooner or later.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since this is a joint resolution, and it's been 12 years since the citizens of our state have voted on something like this, I think it's probably time to go ahead and throw it out there and let them vote again. If they want to continue with the way it is right now, that would be their prerogative. So I don't see any harm at this point in going ahead and putting it on the ballot and let the people decide again if they like it the way it is or to change to something else. So I would ask my colleagues here to push the green button. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Wick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, fellow members. Everybody's touched on a little bit of all of it, and I have to stand a little bit with my friend from the western part of the state that said that institutional knowledge is really worth something. And I can remember just a few years ago we had Gordon Peterson back here in the back, and his 30 years, and it was really valuable to have somebody like that that's watched things that go on. He was allowed after term limits, caught him, and he spent 2 years off. He came back for eight more. And I've done the same thing. I haven't switched bodies yet. You could do that. But I do feel like 8 years is not a good limit, and 12 is probably not the answer. But at least it's a start. And I think somewhere down the road, we've got to go to about a 16-year limit to really give people enough time to have some knowledge, to develop the leadership we should have, to be able to compete with the second floor. In 8 years, we get 16 months if you're out here for 2 months a year. Down there, they get 16 months in less than a year and a half. If you figure it out, it's a year and a third. So they have more chance for more knowledge faster than we do, and we're supposed to be an equal body. I certainly don't want us to meet year-round, but I think that the limits, 8 years, is very restrictive. If we're going to do it, we should push it out towards 16 and limit you to 16 years, period, is what I would prefer, but and maybe even higher than that at 20, but someplace, and not have the game that's played now where you jump from the House to the Senate to the House to whatever, or take 2 years off and come back. Let's put it on the ballot. Let's see what the people say and move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Hubble.
Just for number's sake here, 8 years is only about 300 days that we get to serve. That's less than a year from my colleague from Sioux Falls has the second floor has. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Street.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm standing here today as a member that is termed out. I've served 7 years. This is my eighth year. I think, if I'm not mistaken, that there are five others like me, including Mr. Speaker. That's right. Only six of us that came in 2004 are still here. That is an awful lot of turnover. Now, there's a few representatives here that have come from the Senate or have come back as a representative from Minnehaha, two of them from Minnehaha. There's a few people who have come back, but we don't have too much experience out here. We have too little. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Tolson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to just thank you. This is my second year out here. All the experience that has been out here that I've learned from all of you that have been here before, I would not know a lot of those things, the who, what, where, when, why. So I urge you to vote green on this. This is important for the people of our state, and I just thank you all for all the experience we do have out here in Pierre. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House is final consideration of H.J.R. 1004. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Could have all your patience. We have a little error in the voting machine. They may have to reboot the way this is looking. Our machine does not like term limits, evidently. I hope one of you stays present and stays listening. We will do a voice roll call vote on this vote. All those in favor will vote yay, those opposed nay, and the clerk will call the roll.
Abdallah?
Aye.
Blake?
Aye.
Bolin?
Aye.
Boomgarden?
Aye.
Bruner?
Aye.
Carson?
No.
Consett?
Aye.
Cronin?
Aye.
Dielstra?
Aye.
Dennert?
No.
Dryden?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Bargen?
Aye.
Bikert?
Aye.
Feinstein?
No.
Gibson?
Aye.
Gosch?
Aye.
Greenfield?
No.
Hager?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Okay, Hager was a no, right? Correct. Hawley?
Aye.
Hickey?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Hubble?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Ironclad?
No. Nay.
Jensen? No. Fred Jensen. Jones?
Aye.
Killer?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
No.
Kirschman?
Aye.
Kochek?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
List?
Aye.
Lucas?
No.
Lust?
No.
Magstad?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Mosier?
Aye.
Munsterman is excused. Nelson?
Aye.
Norstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Perry?
Aye.
Romkema?
Aye.
Rosem?
Aye.
Russell?
No.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Shrimp?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sigdestad?
Aye.
Sly?
Aye.
Solem?
Aye.
Steele?
No.
Street?
Aye.
Strickers?
Aye.
Torno?
No.
Tolson?
Yes.
Turbeville?
Aye.
Van Gerpen?
No.
Bannerman?
No.
Benner?
No.
Hershio?
No.
White?
Aye.
That was an aye. Wick?
Aye.
Willitson?
Nay.
Wink?
Aye.
Wismer?
Aye.
Speaker Rausch?
Aye.
Test their counting skills.
Mr. Speaker, we have the results.
The clerk will please read the results.
Mr. Speaker, there were 43 yeas, 26 nays.
HJR 1004, having received majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title, so to speak? Title is approved. Are we up and running?
We can go on. Crazy. I don't think it'll come up.
I do have another welcome. We'd like to welcome the Timber Lake government class here with Mr. Weisbeck. Are they here? Please stand. Welcome. Also, I see we have in the back, I think they're still here, some members from the South Dakota Veterinary Medical Association. Please stand. They are Dr. George Twistero, Dr. Penny Dye, and Dr. Christy Teets. Welcome. It's always a matter of timing when we're introducing people. If we're in the middle of something, we can't do that. But it's good to see so many classes. And, of course, today with the AARP, that was a very nice treat. They're trying to reboot the system here. We'll give it one more try. If it doesn't work, then our calendar looks pretty light. I think we would entertain a motion to defer and pick up tomorrow where we left off today. But we do have a problem. Representative Lust.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we defer the remainder of today's calendar to the 13th legislative day.
All those in favor of the Lust motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. So moved. We'll now proceed to the announcements. Do we have any announcements? Representative Sly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Reminder that we have whip group meetings today right after session.
Thank you, whip group meetings. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Reminder on two counts. One, tomorrow at 10 o'clock, House Judiciary. We have 8 bills on the calendar. Please come prepared. Secondly, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the Governor's Large Conference Room, we'll have Catacombs Caucus. Catacombs Caucus at 7 in the morning. Thank
Catacombs
you very much.
Catacombs Caucus. Very good. Further announcements, Representative Dryden.
Thank you. Joint Appropriations will continue meeting in 15 minutes in 1 and 2. We're doing the Board of Regents budget discussion today, and we're planning on finishing it up. And tomorrow morning at 8:25, we have the Governor's Office, Tribal Relations, Economic Development, and Tourism.
Thank you. Thank you. A little quiet, please, so we can hear the announcements. Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education tomorrow morning, 7:45.
Thank you. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Commerce and Energy tomorrow, 10 a.m., full plate.
Very good. Further announcements? Speaker does have a few acts to sign, an act to revise certain parole hearing provisions regarding inmate compliance waivers and teleconferencing. An act to repeal and revise certain provisions relating to the Department of Corrections. An act to make aggravated incest a violent crime for purpose of setting the initial parole date. An act to codify the legislation enacted in 2011. Any further announcements? Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.